Good morning, Midcurrent. It's great to be with you. Many of you are like, who is this guy? Well, my name is Josh Miller, and Sten's gone, as you may have seen on the video, and this is my second time here. So if you are brand new, I'm there with you. It's great to be here with you this morning. I work at Crossroads Church, which Sten's father-in-law is the senior pastor at, and so it is truly a privilege to be here with you this morning. And so because you don't know anything about me other than what I have just told you, I try to be, I try not to be that type of dad that shows people pictures when he first meets them of my two beautiful daughters that are almost four and almost two. No, I am that dad. I'm not going to show you pictures, but I am going to tell you a story about my daughter, Madison, our older daughter. She's almost four, and if you have kids, which a lot of you probably do, and if you've been downstairs, the first time I was here, I went down, and it was packed with kids, so I know there are kids in this community. You know that kids mimic everything. They are kind of like parrots as they grow, which is really fun, but also really scary at the same time, because you're like, where did that come from? And so my daughter yesterday, we're watching the Gophers crush Penn State, and she likes to keep me up to date on different scores of anything that is on the TV ever, even if it's in the news or whatever. It's like the blah, blah, blah have 12 and the other blah, blah, blah have 13. Go Orange Team, yay. And so she goes over to the TV and she goes, oh my gosh. And I'm thinking to myself, what? Like, what is happening? And I said, Maddie, what's up? And she goes, oh my gosh. And I'm thinking to myself, I don't think I've ever said that in that tone, in that voice, with that. Like, I have never said that. I've never heard my wife, Kristen, ever say that. Where is this coming from? Where is this coming from? Like, that phrase in that tone just doesn't happen in our household. So she learned it from somewhere, which is fine. Like, that's not the worst thing an almost four-year-old could say. But it made me think that these things happen. And if we are accidental about what we are passing on, then we are missing a major, major point in how we are passing on the things that we have learned. And so this morning, I want to share with you a story about a man named Gallus Breitenmoser and his great-nephew, Danny Wallace. And Gallus did something by accident that was not intentional. So Danny Wallace, this great nephew, was in between jobs, having recently left a position as a producer for BBC TV in London. And he learned that his great uncle, Gallus Breitenmoser, had passed away at the age of 90. And so Danny went to Switzerland for the funeral. And while he was there, he heard this crazy idea that his great uncle had. His great uncle had this idea following World War II to go and live on a farm that he had purchased. He was tired of living in the city where there was so much gossip and slandering, and he wanted to do life with others who would work and live with each other out of respect for one another. And so he owned some land, and he decided to start a community farm, hoping to attract 100 others to live with him. And so he got three. He got three to live with him. So he wanted 100. He got three. 3% is not a passing grade, if you're wondering. He got three. And so after a week, he gave up this idea. But for the rest of his life, his family talked about this far-fetched, this crazy idea. And at his funeral, they were still laughing about it. They're still laughing about it at his funeral. But this was the first that Danny had heard about this crazy idea, this quest for community that his great uncle had. And the more that he thought about it, Danny wanted to see if he could collect people together today. And so in a tribute to Gallus, Danny placed a small ad in a London newspaper, and it read, "Join me. Send one passport-sized photo to this address." And he gave his home address. And a few days later, Danny received a letter from Christian Jones, who included a photo of himself as well as a menu from an Indian restaurant in his part of London. And so Danny had his first joinee. He had his first joinee. He's already a third of the way of where his great uncle was. And so he put up a website, and in a short time, 101 people joined him, surpassing his great uncle's goal. And why had people joined? There were no meetings planned. There were no tasks to accomplish. And so far, all that they had been asked to do was send in a photo. Send in a photo. That's all they were asked to do. And within weeks, more than 100 people had done so. They signed up for a group for no other reason than just to belong and be part of something. They had no purpose until Danny came up with one. He sent an email where he revealed the plans for this collective of people. They would be known as Join Me, in which their marching orders were to undertake random acts of kindness one day per week. That's it. One day per week, do something that is kind. So joinees would buy a sandwich and give it to somebody in a park. They would buy a newspaper and give it to somebody at the local coffee shop. They would go and mow a lawn. They would not ask for anything in return. So lunches were bought, groceries were carried, and lawns were mowed, all done freely because they were part of Join Me. And so this website became a place where people could become a part of this group. And it continued to grow worldwide in spite of the fact that there were no club dues, no regularly scheduled meetings, no rules and regulations to follow. They just wanted to be a part of something. And this great uncle Gallus had no idea that he was leaving a legacy beyond his own life. You see, Gallus did something extraordinary. He bought a farm and he wanted to try something amazing. He had a vision of what something might look like, and he chose to go after that. He bought a farm, he invited people, and this idea died quickly. But the heart of it kept living on. And even though his actions were no longer, the memory of what he did not pass. Can't you imagine his friends seeing him in the pub and poking fun at him? They're like, Gallus, are you kidding me? You're going to live on a farm with a bunch of random people that you have no idea who they are? It's like you're going to share a shower with them. You're going to eat at the same table with them. What if they just smell bad all the time? You have to live with these people. Do you remember that far-fetched idea? Who wants to live communally? What a crock of an idea. But the legacy that still remained after he died had a far greater impact than Gallus ever would have imagined. And we can only assume that he never planned on having an impact on his great nephew to start up a following of Join Me, a group of do-gooders who wanted to have a positive incognito effect on others around them. You see, Gallus lived a legacy, be it only for a short time, but he left a legacy that was taken on by his great nephew. And so what does that have to do with us here and now? I mean, we're not in Switzerland. We're not living on a communal farm. Maybe you are. I'm not. I don't desire that. But I'm guessing you have not heard or have ever or will ever hear of the group Join Me. But we're going to look at what it means to live and leave a legacy. Because whether we are accidental or intentional, the things that we do will be passed on. And we see in Scripture so many different accounts of different people who have lived legacies. But if you only live a legacy and you don't leave a legacy, then it's all for naught. If you only live a legacy and you don't leave a legacy, then it's all for naught. And so the obvious place to start in my head is not with my daughter. It's not with Gallus. It's not with Danny Wallace. It's with Jesus, because Jesus is a good example for anything we do. And so we see Jesus be very, very intentional with how he lived his life. And this is not new information for us. I don't think it is, at least. You know, we know that everything he did was with intentionality. But sometimes I don't think we actually sit and think about how intentional he was and why he did the things he did. From how he first went into the wilderness to pray and to hear from his Father before he did anything in his ministry, that was intentional. We see it in the way that he called his disciples. He went to them. He told them to come and follow him. When he called Matthew, also known as Levi, who was a tax collector, somebody that people didn't love to be around, he went and he ate at his house with other tax collectors. He went and he ate with people with purpose. people who looked down, who were looked down on by others in society, Jesus knew what he was doing by going and eating with them. We see Jesus being intentional when he challenged the Pharisees who spoke out against him, asking why he would eat with these sinners. And they would question his actions, and Jesus would answer in a loving yet challenging way. He says in Matthew 9, 12 through 13, it says this: when Jesus heard this, he said, "Healthy people don't need a doctor, sick people do." Then he added, "Now go and learn the meaning of this scripture. Go and learn the meaning of the scripture. I want you to show mercy, not offer sacrifices. For I have come to call not those who think they are righteous, but those who know they are sinners." Jesus was intentional about receiving from the Father before giving anything away. We see Jesus' purposefulness when he challenged the people who thought they wanted to follow him. There's a story about a man named the rich young ruler. That's not his name, but that's who we know him as. And Jesus called him out. And he said, "Leave everything you have and follow me." And this man had everything. He didn't need anything more. And the rich young ruler was not yet ready to leave everything and follow Jesus. And so he chose to go back to his possessions. We see Jesus was intentional in a way that he interacted with his disciples. He set the tone for them and how they were to follow him. He set an example by going away alone to pray and to spend time with the Father. Mark 14, verses 32 through 34 says this: "They went to the olive grove called Gethsemane, and Jesus said, 'Sit here while I go and pray.' He took Peter, James, and John with him, and he became deeply troubled and distressed. And he told them, 'My soul is crushed with grief to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me.'" Jesus lived a legacy through intentionality. Jesus lived a legacy through intentionality. Everywhere he went, he brought his disciples along with him. When he went to heal people, the disciples learned how to heal people. When he went to new towns, the disciples followed him to those new towns. When he talked with the Pharisees, the disciples watched him talk to the Pharisees. Because Jesus knew his time on earth was limited. He knew that the people following him were not perfect and would not be in the same place spiritually as he was or ever would be. But because of this, he had to live in such a way that the disciples could follow and do what he did. And Jesus left them equipped with everything he knew from his heavenly Father. So Jesus lived his life so full of purpose that the disciples could not miss all that he was doing for them and the legacy he was living. And because of Jesus' life, because of the way that he lived with his disciples, they followed. It was something they witnessed firsthand. You see, Jesus had the 12 disciples who were near him, and he had 3 that were even closer to him. But it was also something that they could duplicate, because it wasn't just information that Jesus was handing to them. Because if we just receive information, we become really smart. But Jesus was giving them more than information. He was teaching them application. He was teaching them application. He didn't live in a way that couldn't be followed. He invited his disciples to do as he did. And you're thinking to yourself, "Well, I've read stories about Jesus, or I've heard stories about Jesus. He walked on water. He raised the dead. He turned water into wine. I could maybe do that last one, but I'm not going to walk on water or raise the dead." You know, like, these things are just crazy. But the entire book of Acts is a duplication of what the disciples had just experienced with Jesus. Think about it for a second. They basically were living communally like Gallus wanted to live communally, but they were doing it with Jesus, the Son of God. They had just experienced 3 years of Jesus living communally with them. They ate what Jesus ate. They slept where Jesus slept. They fished where Jesus fished. They hear some of the greatest sermons in the history of anything in the whole entire world. They watched the Son of God raise people from the dead. They watched the Son of God heal people of lifelong diseases. They watched the Son of God cast out demons. They watched the Son of God talk to the Pharisees and tell them to shove it. Like basically telling the Pharisees, get out of my sight. They watched the Son of God tell people how to reevaluate how they live. They see him encourage people who have lost their way to follow God. They watched Jesus rise from the dead. And the list goes on and on and on. And in Acts chapter 1, verses 4 through 8, it says, once when Jesus was eating with them, he commanded them, do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised. As I told you before, John baptized with water, but in just a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So when the apostles were there with Jesus, they kept asking him, Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and restore our kingdom? And he replied, the Father alone has the authority to set those dates and times, and they are not for you to know. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, throughout Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. This group of people couldn't contain what they had just experienced and had just been told. They had a calling directly from Jesus to go out to the cities they did and did not know and to be witnesses, to do what Jesus had done, to preach the gospel, to transform major influential cities, and to tell the love that Jesus had for the whole world. To live and to leave a legacy. And they did it. They did it. But they only did this because Jesus had first taught them what to do. They would have no idea where to start if he didn't walk hand in hand with them. They didn't know what was up from down when he first called them from the boats or wherever he called them from. They didn't know who to talk with. They didn't know where to walk. They didn't know anything. Jesus pointed the way for the disciples. He told them to go to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth, to Hudson, to River Falls, to Milwaukee, and dare I say it, maybe Chicago. So when Jesus left this earth, the disciples went out to different areas and they taught what they had just learned from him. But they didn't just do it themselves. They brought others along because Jesus first asked them to come, so they should ask others to come. They saw how Jesus ate with them, so they ate with others. They saw how Jesus taught different truths about the Father, so they taught those truths. The disciples saw Jesus invite them to travel with him, so they invited others as well. Paul joined the group. Timothy joined the gang. Barnabas saddled up. Silas traveled with Paul, and all of these new disciples joining in for the cause of Jesus because they fully believed that what they knew about Jesus was worth applying. What they knew was worth applying. Because if it's just information, it's nothing. It's all about application. So they set everything aside to tell others about the love that the Father has for them. And we have this same calling. We have the same calling. And the calling happens with the changed heart. You're sitting in these seats, there's something. Whether you're fully committed to Jesus, you're like, checking it out. I don't know what's up. But we have the same calling. Because we read that Jesus did what he did because he has a love for us that never ends. And so when we have a changed heart, we begin to move towards the likeness of Jesus. We have a calling in our lives to live a life that is honoring and pleasing to God, to sit with him like the disciples sat with him, to learn what he has to say about our lives, to study his words we have in the Bible, to pray with him, to love others like Jesus loved others, and to know that the cause to live for him is worth everything we have to offer. But Jesus knew his time on earth was limited. And again, he's intentional about everything he did while living. And he passed on all he knew to the people who were following him and were willing to listen to him. And in John 14, 12, Jesus tells his followers, that they will do things that are even greater than he has done. Can you imagine that? Remember, like I've already said, he's walked on water, raised the dead, healed the sick, turned water to wine, like all these crazy things. And Jesus says, no, you will do things greater than I have even done. Can you imagine the reality of sitting in that and hearing him say that to them? Are you kidding me? Or as my three-year-old would say, oh my gosh, like no way, this is mind-blowing stuff. This is the promise, though, that the disciples held on to as they went to the cities they did and didn't know. It was not enough for them just to listen and not do anything after Jesus left. And the same is for us. Our calling is to pass on what we are receiving and learning from the Lord. So where are you being intentional? Like Jesus was intentional. Like the disciples were intentional. Are you doing things by accident? Are they just coming to you and you're responding to them? Are you having purposeful decisions about what you are passing on from what you are learning here or in small groups or serving in your community about what you're reading in the Word? Are you passing that on and being intentional? Where are you leaving a legacy? Where are you leaving a legacy? I knew a pastor that said over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. He said, with open hands, we receive all that God has to give us, knowing that he will give us good things. But with open hands, we give away all that God has given us because we know we can never outgive God. And I think for me, this is, yes, it could be money, it could be volunteer hours, it could be whatever it is, but I think it's more than that. It's the love, it's the joy, it's the peace that the Holy Spirit gives us. We need to give these things away with intentionality. And when I talk with leaders in the church or people that volunteer, I reinforce over and over and over that we can only give away. We can only give away what we have received from God. That means if we aren't spending time with the Lord, if we aren't reading his word, if we aren't letting him shape and mold who we are and what we are about, then what we are investing in, the legacy that we are leaving, is not worth it. It's not. You see, I can leave a legacy. You can leave a legacy. But what kind of legacy are we going to leave? Is it going to be accidental or is it going to be purposeful? And see, this principle goes beyond the church walls. Because most of us don't work in a church. Most of us don't get to stand up here. Most of us don't get to play worship. Most of us don't get to serve in kids ministry or wherever. And so where is your Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria? Where are you leaving a legacy? If you have kids, that's an obvious one. Invest in them. We got one in here. I love that. I love that this child is in this room right now. That kids are below us learning about the love of Jesus. Invest in the kids. If you work, invest in that workplace. Pray for opportunities to have conversations with people. You don't have to be standing on a soapbox, pounding the Bible and screaming at people, but love people well and be friendly to them. Be friendly to them. If it's in your neighborhood, be purposeful with your time and your energy. Invite others to see how you live your life and ask Christ to be part of your life daily. Host a barbecue, maybe not in November, like you could wait till June or July, but host a barbecue and invite people to your backyard. You know, that's a fun thing. People like to eat meat. That's just what we do in America. They like to eat meat. So do something fun with people in your neighborhood. My wife and I lived in St. Paul in a condo of 7 units. It's a very small building. And we would have a progressive meal every winter. So we would start in the basement and we would work our way to the top and everybody would have a course or drinks or whatever it might be. It was a fun time getting to know one another. And we got to host people. So we go from unit to unit to unit to unit to unit till 7 units were done. And we would talk and get to know these people and we were purposeful with them. And barriers were taken down because these people came into our home other than just for a condo meeting. They ate with us like Jesus ate with people. They talked with us like Jesus talked with people. And we prayed for opportunities to be able to love them well. These people could see how Kristen and I lived because we lived in close quarters. 7 units is not a lot of units. Like, you hear things through the walls that you maybe don't want to hear. You hear people crying that you maybe don't want to hear. You hear like footsteps all the time because they're old wooden floors. But we have to be purposeful. We can't be accidental with how we are intentional. And so, these people who joined this Join Me movement with the great nephew, they were doing things that felt good to them. They were giving things away that felt good to them. But was there Jesus involved? Maybe, maybe not. But I think Jesus is the clincher, because we know that the power of Jesus is greater than anything else in the world. We know that he heals emotionally. We know that he heals spiritually. We know that he can heal physically. And we know that he loves us through our junk over and over and over, even when we are not deserving of it. We know that he cares so much about us, that he was born in a stable with some scratchy hay next to some donkeys, lived a life that was persecuted, died a terrible death because he loved us so incredibly much. He was not getting anything out of this other than showing us that he cared and loved us. This is the legacy that Jesus left. It's the promise of eternal life because the Father loved us so much. You see, Jesus was constantly talking with the Father. He was always going away from the crowds to pray and to hear from the Father. And in John 3:16, the most popular verse ever known to mankind, "For God so loved the world that he gave us his one and only Son." You see, Jesus was sent to this earth to fix all that had gone wrong. He was following his Father's legacy. And our Father in heaven knows, he knows that legacies matter. And he lived that out through creation and sending his Son to this earth. And so Jesus followed that legacy. He knew what the Father wanted and he acted accordingly. The disciples followed Jesus, having seen, having heard, having witnessed all that Jesus had done. The disciples brought others on board, setting the example that Jesus set. And the trend continues generation after generation, until we're sitting here in this room now because somebody else lived and left a legacy. And so again, the question becomes, if we are just receiving information, is that enough? No, I don't think so. So the question is, how are you? How are you going to be purposeful, intentional? How are you going to leave a legacy like Jesus left? How are you going to leave a legacy like Jesus left? Father God, I thank you for today. I thank you for what you have done for each of us individually, but also collectively here at MidCurrent. God, that you are doing new things here, that people are hearing about the love that you have for them, about the joy that you bring them, about the legacy that we can leave. God, let us be so purposeful in all we do. Let us not run across opportunities to leave a legacy by accident, but give us a heart that has purpose. Let it not just be information, but let it be application. God, I thank you for this group, and I pray that collectively they would leave a legacy that pours into other people in their communities. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.